So in our reading from Exodus, the Israelites had already been wandering for a while in the wilderness after escaping Egypt. Their life was difficult and stressful. Their spirits were low. And so God calls Moses in for a consultation to give the people some directions to live by. Now, I don't know about you, but I frequently find life these days difficult and stressful, primarily because of our national political situation and the disregard of truth and human rights. And my spirits are often low. And I think what this story of Moses says to me is that when we find this to be the case, when we aren't sure what to do, when life looks bleak, perhaps what we need is a consultation with the divine, maybe lots of them. Both of our scriptures today talk about being in the presence of the divine in a way that goes beyond just a quick prayer. These experiences are profound, unsettling. We might even call them mystical encounters with God. And it makes me wonder about the ways that I encounter God. What do I get from those encounters? How and when do I find myself not only in the presence of the divine, but truly and deeply connected to God? And this isn't about searching for God. God is always with us. But I think we often remain detached from that loving, guiding presence because we're filled with worry and fear, too preoccupied by the stress and the busyness of the day. We know God is here, so it's more about tuning in to God. Think of a radio. The radio station's airwaves are always around us, but if we want to listen, we have to take the time and purposefully tune in. So how do we do that? How do we tune in to the divine presence that not only surrounds us, but abides within us? The first thing about Moses' story and the story of the transfiguration, the thing that they have in common is that they occur on a mountain, which in the Bible is symbolic of sacred and holy places, thin places where the presence of God is more easily felt, places away from the hustle and bustle of life and the corruptions of humanity, where life slows down and lets us live in the present moment. To hear God's voice clearly, to connect with the divine in a profound way. Perhaps we need to temporarily leave behind our worries and fears, which, of course, as we know, is much easier said than done. But we can find these sacred places. And maybe for us, that is a mountain. Or maybe it's the beach on Lake Michigan, looking at the horizon, or among the trees in the forest, next to a river. Maybe it's in church. Maybe it's in our favorite chair with the door shut and the TV turned off. Someplace where we can be away from the world, where we can be undisturbed for a while to be with God. Second, in both of these stories, God speaks from a cloud. There's a certain eternal mystery to the loving energy that we call God. It isn't always obvious that we're in the presence of the divine, and so we might temper our expectations. It's not up to us to control how God speaks to us. It might be dramatically from a cloud. It also might be in the advice of a friend or an enemy. It might be a quiet whisper in the back of our mind. And this brings me to another thing that these stories of life-changing encounters have in common. They don't happen right away. They require patience. God tells Moses to climb Mount Sinai and then wait. And we're told God was there with him immediately. But it took an entire week, 7 days, before God actually spoke. Moses sat and listened for 6 days before he finally heard God speaking on the seventh. How long do we usually wait for someone to speak before we get impatient and start to fidget? Start looking at our watch to see what's going on. Can we imagine a friend asking us to come over and talk, and once we get there, they don't say anything for 7 days? The transfiguration, of course, also happens after 6 days. Jesus promised his disciples that some of them would encounter the kingdom of God. And then 6 days later, so things don't necessarily happen right away. And that's important in this age of instant gratification. We don't necessarily hear God's voice when we want to, but I think we hear when we need to, when we're ready to. And that might mean waiting for much longer than we'd like, longer than is comfortable. And it's also interesting that both of these stories, that period of waiting is 6 days, and the seventh day, of course, the seventh day is Sabbath. And I don't think God only speaks on the Sabbath. God doesn't speak just on Sundays. But think about what the Sabbath means and why it might be conducive to hearing God's voice. This day of rest is meant to take us away from our daily concerns, to give us a break from the stress. Like going to the mountain is going to a sacred place. The Sabbath is going to a sacred time. It's meant, I believe, to encourage us to be quiet and open our hearts and minds, to be attentive and present in the moment, to listen and watch for God acting in our lives. Because these are the conditions that invite God to speak and allow us to hear. I mean, God can and does speak to us when we really aren't listening. But think about when you're trying to speak to someone. Would you rather do it when they're distracted and you're pretty sure they're not going to hear you anyway? They're not going to hear what you say unless you do something dramatic to get their attention? Or would you rather speak when you have their full attention and they show interest in what you say? Which makes for the better relationship? And isn't the whole reason we seek to connect to the divine, to build relationship, relationship with God, with creation, and with each other? When I reflect on the transfiguration, I understand it to be representative of God's kingdom, representative of that relationship. As I mentioned, Jesus promised some of his disciples would see the kingdom, and then 6 days later, he takes three of them to a mountaintop where they have this mystical experience. And that sounds to me like they are seeing the kingdom. The transfiguration reveals what it means to be in harmonious relationship with God, to walk God's way of love. This is a way of life based on trying to do what is right, represented by the presence of Moses, who receives God's laws and guidance for the people. And it's based on speaking truth in the pursuit of justice, represented by Elijah, the great Hebrew prophet. And it's based on Jesus, the incarnation of divine love and compassion. Justice, truth, love. That is the way of God. And lastly, in both of these stories, there's an element of awe and fear in the presence of the divine. Connecting with God can be both comforting and sometimes disconcerting. When the disciples heard the voice of God, they were scared and fell to the ground. And when Moses was speaking with God, we're told the mountaintop looked like it was on fire. When I encounter God, I usually associate that experience with peace and hope. It's often like the life preserver that lifts my spirits and keeps me from drowning in despair. But there's often a sense of awe as well, especially when I find God in nature, on that mountain or beach or in the sunset. There can also be a sense of fear. But my personal experience isn't that the divine presence itself is threatening. I tend to get scared when, like the disciples, I actually hear God's voice, when I perceive that God is saying something to me. When God says things like, "Hey, I think you should go to seminary." Or when I hear God telling me to speak out and stand up for justice when it might be risky. It's not God that's scary to me. God loves me. It's what I hear God asking me to do that can be scary. Because God, I think, believes I'm a lot more capable than I tend to believe. It's pushing my comfort zone, being challenged to continue to grow and change. That's scary. And interestingly, when the disciples are touched by Jesus, that embodiment of divine love, they're no longer scared. They feel at peace again. When we are reminded that we have love with us all the time, that God's love never leaves us, that we have the love of our spiritual family, then there's no reason to be afraid. Now, of course, when we have these mountaintop type encounters with God, we eventually also have to go back down the mountain and into the valleys where life happens, where we pick up our worries and our stress again. But hopefully, we bring the presence of the divine with us and it becomes a little easier. Connecting with God in those profound mountaintop experiences makes it easier for us to also connect with God when we're back face to face with the injustice of the world. Now, we also note in this story that Jesus commands the disciples not to tell anyone about what happened on the mountain. It's not entirely clear why he says this. Maybe he didn't think people would understand what it meant. Maybe he didn't think they'd even believe it happened. Sometimes we have to experience things for ourselves before they make sense. Or maybe Jesus didn't want to make his ministry about himself, which I think is what might have happened if people started talking about how he had appeared with Moses and Elijah. Maybe Jesus wanted to keep the focus of his ministry, the reality of the kingdom of God, the way of love, on simply helping people through doing what's right, speaking truth to power, and unconditionally loving all of God's children. When the stress and tension of this world fills us with fear and despair, maybe it's time for a consultation with God, to spend more time in the presence of the divine, to go to a sacred place in a sacred time, be still and in the moment, opening heart and mind, listening for God to speak, to be at peace without fear, for we know that we too are God's beloved children. Amen.